I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Real Salt Lake puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Noon hour is here.
Check it out.
And you're locked on to Utah's highest rated, most listened to sports radio station.
It's my station.
It's my station.
This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Time to make the donuts. Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. I hope you're all having a tremendous day. Hi, Hans. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm doing fantastic, Scotty. And I'd like to start out with the snow at the twos and just give a shout-out to my daughter, Ashlyn.
It's your Snow College at 2 update right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Snow College update on the twos. She's leading her college team in kills.
Nice.
And I just saw it in the paper today, and I was like, "Oh, that's my baby.
That's your girl."
And I was so excited. I'm so proud of her coming through the knee injury, having a full knee repair. By the way, parents out there, if your kids are dealing with injuries, help them tough through it, man. You got to fight through it. It's not a time to wave the flag and call it quits. You just get the surgeries. She had to go through a procedure. Shout out to Dr. Mack. What's up out there, Dr. Mack? Travis Mack, the best in the business with the U of U Healthcare. He is so good. And she's doing great. So I'm just a pleased papa. And got a big game tonight. Little Lehigh Temp View going on tonight. People tell me that's a pretty big one.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's what I'm hearing.
That's good to know.
I guess Tempe's good. I know Lehigh's good. They haven't lost yet. So a little bit of high school football going on tonight. And we've got the weekend loaded with good football. It's going to be an amazing weekend.
Yes.
These next four games collectively with BYU and Utah, so the next 2 weeks, are going to be four of the most exciting and interesting games collectively that we've had to put together in, I don't know how many years. Talking about Utah and BYU's next two opponents.
Yeah.
When you combine those four opponents, Arkansas, Notre Dame, USC, UCLA, and what those teams are doing, and just the interest level in those teams, I don't know if we've had a better couple of collective weeks that are coming up.
Ooh, I think you're right on that one.
Some really good teams.
Because
it's
fun
football.
I mean, you look at Utah and you understand UCLA and USC, and you know those are two difficult opponents. And then you look at Notre Dame and then Arkansas. Yeah, you know what? Spot on.
I think it's going to be a good couple weeks. And then I wanted to know, before we jump into some of these things, what were you trying to get at with that poll question? With the flags and the... Do you have flags in your house? I saw the poll question. I voted on it.
I put a poll question out?
Oh,
I don't remember doing this.
Did I misread that? I thought you put out a poll question that said, do you have any flags in your house?
Are you hacked?
Not that I know of. I'm looking at my tweets. If I put out a poll question, I must have been hacked.
You don't have a poll question there? Lloyd, did you see his poll question?
I did not.
I don't think it was me.
Whoa. No, it was you. I know it was. Because I saw it come out. I'm like, well, Scotty doesn't put out many poll questions.
And then, I don't think
polls
are
fun. I saw the story about the pig.
Oh, it's...
That'll do, pig. That'll do.
It's Chicken Ben.
Oh, it's Chicken Ben. Okay.
It's just got the 12-8 of the zone banner.
Okay.
I was like, what is Scotty doing with the banners and the concert posters? It didn't make sense, but I voted on it.
So what's the question?
Do you have any concert posters hanging in your house? Additionally, do you have any flags, sports or otherwise, hanging on the interior of your home?
I have concert posters, but I have no, like, team, like, association flags.
You have a concert poster?
I do. I got a couple, actually.
So I had a signed Hot August Nights Neil Diamond poster that Scott Slaymaker got me.
Yeah.
The owner of Wingers.
Oh, yeah.
And it's about the size of the back of that Infinity.
Jeez.
And I hung that up for a while. And as much as I loved it, my wife just didn't. You know, there's two types of people in this world.
Yeah.
As Bob Wiley once taught us.
People who love Neil Diamond.
And those who don't.
And those who don't.
Now, Bob got a divorce because of it. We've hung in there strong.
Yeah.
It's just, I'm taking down the poster.
Well, I mean, that's what your office is there for. That's where, you know, that's where I put my concert posters.
I'm not allowed to decorate my office.
Oh, come on. That's got to be your one area that you can.
I think we would all think.
That's one thing that I, like, my wife is incredible with the decorating. She has our house looking incredible. I love the way our house looks. Like, she'll come and say, hey, look, I'm thinking about painting this room this color. I'm like, what?
That's a weird fuchsia.
That's a weird color. What are you thinking? But I do it, and then afterwards, it looks, and I'm like, oh my gosh, this looks great.
Yeah.
So, like, I completely trust my wife 100% when it comes to decorating our house. However, one thing that she's been really cool about, she's like, your office, it's yours. You do with it what you want.
Is that why you've got the Mike Tyson?
That's why I've got the Mike Tyson
collage.
Mike Tyson punch-out collage in the back.
Anytime we do it.
Which, by the way, I will give... My wife was the one who actually put that together for me, too.
It's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a pretty fun background.
Although, I was seeing something the other day where, like, somebody screenshot it, and what was the dude? The Bull. What's his name? The
Manute
character.
Bull.
No, not Manute Bull, Lloyd. Come on.
Bull from Night Court.
Okay, stop it. We're not doing this.
Bull.
But they're like, wow, you look like that dude. I'm like, okay, maybe I got her, because my head was like right next to him. And I'm like, okay, we might have a problem there.
You're talking about Mike Tyson?
That Mike Tyson, yeah.
You mean Soda Popinski?
No, the bull guy. The guy that would go right and then left and then charge you.
Yeah.
And you had to hit him in the, yeah.
I can't remember. Dang it. I should know those characters. I'm embarrassed. I should know them. That was my childhood.
Yeah.
Me and my brother Ryan.
Bald Bull is
Bald
his name.
Bull. We would rent a Nintendo on the weekends.
Oh, yeah.
And we would rent that airplane one. It was like 1942 or something.
Oh, yeah. That was in 1942.
And then we'd rent the Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. And we'd play it all weekend. It was one of my best memories as a young toddler. And then my brother gets sick of me being around, so he'd tell me,
get lost,
I'm done, but his friends are coming to play. I don't blame him. I was a punk baby brother.
Oh boy. I think a lot of who you are now stems from how you were treated back then.
Yeah. Good news is we're good buddies now.
I'm just glad you didn't have a younger brother, because I could have seen you kicking the dog pretty good.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, it would have tumbled downhill.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it would have tumbled down, because my brother wrestled at 98 pounds.
Jeez.
Can you believe that? No. Ryan wrestled at 98 pounds. I wrestled, the lightest I ever was wrestling was 235 pounds. That was my freshman year. So we were very different. And if I'd had a little baby brother that was little, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It's just this big puppy with a lot of strength.
I kind of consider how you treat me is how you would have treated a younger brother.
Are you kidding me?
Yeah, I think
I treat you, I think, so
I,
gentle.
I think I'm taking the brunt of a lot of...
I treat you so gentle. That is not true. I would have loved a baby brother. I'd have taught him. I would have brought him up in the ways, Scotty. I'd have showed him how to be.
Yeah.
Hey, got out in the fall colors yesterday.
Oh, yeah. How was the old loop?
Took mom and dad up the Alpine Loop. Took Amanda and Riley, and we all went up to the Alpine Loop. And it's amazing. You got to do it.
Oh, yeah. I've done it. I did it a couple of years ago. I've not done it in a bit.
I will tell you, it's no longer a hidden treasure.
No, everybody's doing it.
Everybody's doing it. And it doesn't matter. Like, gas price be darned.
Yeah.
It's like, no, we're going to go spend $150 in gas. And that's about what it costs to do the Alpine Loop.
Ugh.
It's a good, solid $150. Are we going to feel any relief at the pump?
No, because you got a bunch of people out there that, like, jacked up the prices, and then they're like, oh, well, you know, crude oil's going down. Okay, well,
this is fun making money.
We don't need to drop the price. Let's keep it at above four. Well, the national average is $330. Yeah, but if we all agree to keep it the same, maybe we can.
They were paying five, and now they're paying $4.24.
It's a dollar less than what it used to be. Okay, gas has no business being over $3 a gallon. It doesn't.
Oh, man.
And now OPEC cut all their production. Now and they're like, they crept it down a little bit, and then the news on OPEC, like, all right, jump it up 50 cents. Yeah, dude, it's nasty.
So the states that were down below, now they just get up to normal, but the states like us
are going
to
go,
that had all this inflated price gouging, now we're just going to take this big jump.
I mean, I don't know.
Oh, I'm just furious.
We got to be careful, I guess. I don't know if there's price gouging. It just seems weird that everybody's dropping except for Utah.
It's got to be.
I go up to Idaho. Idaho's like at 360 something.
Yeah.
Just cross state lines. All of a sudden, like, oh, look, the gas is so much cheaper here. I don't know what it is. Like,
well, I'll tell you, it's weird because I went up to go watch my daughter play volleyball, and I got off that Nephi exit.
Yeah.
There's $3.85 gas off that Nephi exit.
Really?
$3.85. I didn't even need gas and I got it. I was going to fill up the bed of my truck with it. Like, just fill up the bed of the truck and then
put a little tarp in there.
You know? And then siphon it into the tank as I need it. Because I'm like, man, what savings here in Nephi? What, does Nephi all of a sudden have access to a refinery that we don't have here? Oh, I'm spitting mad, Scotty.
It's like,
spitting mad.
Yeah. No, it's like everybody talked to the guys that run the gas station in Milford and Beaver, and they're like, hey, yeah, we've been charging over for four forever. Well, maybe we should do the same up here.
I feel bad for Utahns. Everybody take heart. Stand tall. Take heart. We'll get through this together.
Yeah, I don't think we'll ever see gas under $3 ever again.
You don't?
No.
You know, what's the cheapest you've ever seen it?
Ever?
Yeah, ever.
Oh, probably in the 70 cents.
Oh, you've seen it.
As a kid?
I saw it 92 cents. I don't remember 70 cents.
I think maybe 70s, 80s. I remember, you know, when you'd be a kid, you'd go, like, when you didn't have any money and you're going to high school and you're driving, you'd put $5 of gas in your car and that would get you through the week or maybe a little bit more. You'd take that $5 bill. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
You know, your mom sent you to the grocery store and she sent you with a $20 bill and you know, you got 15 and she forgot to ask for the change back. She's like, all right, I got $5. Like, it's going to get me through the week.
Yeah. No, that's true. I do miss those days, Scotty.
Yes.
They'll never come back, huh?
I mean, that's just my guess. I can't imagine we'd ever see a world where you'd have gas corporations be like, you know what we can do? Let's slash our prices.
Well, I love being here at Infiniti for quite a few different reasons. I will tell you, these cars, these beautiful cars, these luxury vehicles, it is crazy, their gas efficiency.
Yes.
It's insane to me.
Well, you got, like, the big QX80.
Yeah.
That sucker's, I mean, it's a monster vehicle. It's going to get great gas mileage. The QX50 is going to get great gas mileage.
I don't know how they do it in these big luxury vehicles.
I don't know, but they make it work.
Yeah, I'm also looking at the numbers they've got tagged on these things. I can't believe you could have that per month on that vehicle.
Yeah.
That's insane.
It's like you're driving one of those Infinities, and you're like, you almost feel like you're getting sideswiped. You're surprised. It comes out of nowhere and just slams right into the side of you. Like Christian Cox barreling down I-15. You don't even see it coming.
Like Christian Cox in a borrowed Infinity. Barreling down I-15.
Whoa. Where did those prices come from?
You guys won't let that die.
Well, Lloyd, they give him an Infinity to use for a week, and he runs it into a
in just like 2 days. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, and I love like I love Christian, but that was an awkward conversation.
I'll bet. All right. Nate tweeted at me. He said, "Hey, man, did the Nephi gas station supposed to be a secret?" Well, it ain't a secret to me. I am now going to drive all the way out there just for my gas every week.
Well, wow. Fortunately, you pretty much live in Nephi, so that works.
Yeah, you're not far off, actually.
This guy says in Washington State, their gas went from $4.64 2 weeks ago, now back up to $5.86. What?
Oh,
went
John.
Up over a dollar?
Oh, John, I'm so sorry.
Wow.
Hey, wherever you're at, tweet us your gas prices.
There you go.
Where are you listening from, and what are your gas prices? Give Scotty and I a little bit of insight here. How bad are things where you're at? Nephi is
I like
not
this
bad.
Little kind of little where you at, what you hauling.
Yeah.
Where are you at?
What's your gas?
What you spending?
Where are you at? What you spending?
All right, let's get to it. Starting lineup, Hans and Scotty, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is Hans and Scotty G.
Let's go!
The lineup is set, and it's time to kick off the show with the biggest topic of the day. This is the Starting Lineup, presented by Peach Windows and Doors. On 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Peach Windows and Doors, your proud presenting sponsor of the Starting Lineup right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, combining beauty and technology on windows and doors since 1993. Call them today for your free in-home estimate, 801-566-1255.
So, Scotty, you know, like the old Imperial days or, you know, I don't know, England. You remember when the guys would pull off their white gloves finger by finger?
Oh, yeah, and then
take it off the hand and slap it across. And it was supposed to be like the biggest insult?
Yep.
I'm not even kidding you, and I'm not this type of guy, because I don't care. I'm not even kidding you, man. Notre Dame has done everything they can to treat BYU like a stepchild.
Yeah, what is going on with this?
They hit everything they can. It's like, oh, no, we're not giving you a home game. Well, but we came there. Yeah, I know, blah, 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 blah. We'll give you Las Vegas. How does that sound? Oh, okay, but it's going to be a Shamrock home series. Okay. Well, we're going to control all ticket prices and allotment. Okay. And we're going to control home apparel and color, and we're going to go through all of the different... Okay. And then, as Lloyd mentioned, whatever it was yesterday or 2 days ago, during their media sessions, not a single question about BYU. Nobody even cares. Everybody's blah, 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 this, this, and this. Oh, Newt Rockne, blah, blah, blah. And... so nobody even gives a damn about BYU. And then today, you got two of their prominent players sitting in front of media saying, ah, yeah, what's their biggest advantage? This guy's 25. They're all like 24, 20. They're all 25. We're playing against men. And then the running backs, by the way, that's that Mills that I was telling you, but that yep. Riley Mills, the defensive lineman. Then the running back, Lloyd, you got the running back comments? Here's their running back that I talked about yesterday talking about BYU.
Oh, well, they're a good team. They got a lot of good players, but I feel like their players don't match the players that we have. So if we just play our football, I feel like we should handle business.
And I do like Audric Estime.
It's good player.
He's a really good player. He's number 7. He's the bowling ball that I was telling you about. He's 235 pounds.
Well, when I saw him and Sam Farnsworth tweeted out the video, and you're used to seeing these guys in pads and helmets and stuff like that. And when Sam tweeted out the video last night and I'm watching, I'm like, that dude looks like a D-end. Like or like just
the running back?
Yeah, the running back. Yeah. Now I didn't see him, you know, height wise, but I just his big frame, I'm like, that's a running back? That's a big mamba jamba.
He is. He's built like a bulky defensive end. 235 pounds, Scotty. This Audric Estime. And he's a power runner and he's really good. And so he's got room to get all talky about it, but hey bud, you're 2-2. You lost to Marshall.
You lost to Marshall.
What are you doing, man? You shut your mouth. If I'm his teammates, I'm like, hey, yo, shut your mouth.
Look, I scoured everything that was said about Utah State by Alabama. I never heard a single word that even came close to what we've heard from Notre Dame talking about BYU.
From Alabama?
From Alabama.
No.
Talking about Utah State.
No, they didn't disrespect them.
No.
Like that.
And you know, deep down, Alabama knew probably how that game was going to go. And the gap between Alabama and Utah State is quite a bit different than the gap between Notre Dame and BYU.
Yeah.
These teams are very close. They're very equal. And I think we're going to have a dogfight. The level of and again, I don't want to really buy into this whole like, oh, they disrespect us, blah, blah, but holy smokes, they're disrespecting you.
It's the full.
It's, yeah, the whole.
All-encompassing. All of it,
yeah.
Notre Dame has flat-out disrespected BYU and just said, you know what?
And it's coming from the top down.
Just be glad that your prayers were answered, that we're even playing you in Vegas, and that our kids would stoop to the level to play you in Vegas. I will tell you, the only trash-talking that I've heard this year so far was the Florida kid that was like, man, are you talking? It's a swamp, and it's in the summer, and this is not going to be good for
touchdowns
them.
Upon touchdowns.
No. He was right.
Well, they won, but yeah, he may seem like they're going away. You're one Cam Rising interception away from losing that game.
That guy, he was talking so much trash. And you're right. I mean, they backed it up to a certain degree. At least they got the win. With Notre Dame, you hit it on the head. This is a very equal team. I think that BYU is better in a lot of areas, and I think that Notre Dame's better in a few. I think that Notre Dame's running back's probably better. I think their tight end, probably better. I think that their defensive line, definitely better. But on BYU side of things, they got the best quarterback. The best quarterback on the field is going to be Jaren Hall.
Yeah. Oh, by a country mile.
By a country mile. And I think that that is going to be a big difference maker. But it's been a long, long time since a school in this state, a team in this state, and I'm breaking them down and getting ready for the game, that I look at and I say, oh, I hope they just punch them in the mouth and shut their mouth. This one, I hope BYU punches Notre Dame square in the mouth and shuts them all up. Because everything they've done with the scheduling and all the demands and all the orders, and then these players just talking high trash. It's like, all right, it's time. It's time for you to get smacked.
So, I'll look, this is me. I don't really care if teams win or lose. I don't. I care because winning teams generate more listeners, drive more ratings. So I care in that regard. So for all of you out there that think I hate BYU or I hate Utah or whatever, like, we genuinely hope everybody does very well. But we're not emotionally attached to teams. We're not like emotionally going through the grinder on every single play for these teams and on wins and losses. But I will say this today, go Cougars, man. Like, Notre Dame needs to get shut up, because this is unreal, the amount of smack talk coming from these guys.
I got
it. You just don't see that. You just don't see it these days. Everybody, because I remember.
It's bizarre.
Before, I just barely started working down here in Salt Lake. It was that 04 team. Utah goes undefeated. They win the Fiesta Bowl. You know, everything is great for Utah. It's their big year with Urban Meyer. And it was before the BYU game, and BYU wasn't particularly great that year. And it was the Monday morning press conference, and Urban Meyer just given his spiel and talked about, like, hey, this is a good BYU team. This is a great rivalry. Anything can happen in these rivalries. We all knew Utah was going to wipe the floor with BYU, but he's talking about how great BYU can be. And they have these individual breakout sessions, and I'll never forget Bo Nagihe. I'm doing a one-on-one interview with Bo Nagihe, and you can tell, if you knew Bo wanted to go. Like, he wanted to run his mouth all the time, and that's who he was, and that's why it was such a fun interview. And so I'm talking to Bo, and Bo's like, yeah, I can't wait to play BYU. You know, I can't wait to go to, and you knew he was right there about ready to just say, we're going to go down there, or we're going to beat that team by 30 points. And Urban is kind of listening in the background, just kind of hovering around, and Urban comes by and puts his hand on his shoulder, and Bo immediately says, but you know, we really respect those guys, and it's going to be a great game, and we're really looking forward to the opportunity, and we're going to have to execute at a high level if we're going to win this game. Immediately changes the tone, because Urban wasn't going to have any of that.
Yeah.
And the fact that Marcus Freeman is letting these dudes run, all BYU is back there just like a sponge, just soaking it all in.
Saying, sure.
You know how Kalani is.
Absolutely.
Kalani's going to say all the right things, but you know deep down he is burning, saying, we're going to go down there and we're going to put it on these guys.
Now the question is, do you have guys?
Now, can you do it?
Yeah, you got guys that can answer the call. Because there's no question. You put it in the back pocket and you're like, All right, so let's see. Number 7 is a blabbering loudmouth, and number 99 on the defense is a blabbering loudmouth. And this team really took advantage of Tom Homo. and the BYU fan base. The BYU fan base should have 65,000 tickets at Lavelle Edwards Stadium to this game.
At $30 a pop.
$30 a pop. Not 180, or what was it to get in the building? 220.
And
I think it was 220 to get in.
And they gave
the
you, what, like 5,000 tickets or something like that?
Yeah.
The allotment was small, and the prices are through the roof.
And then when those tickets were sold out, Notre Dame was like, beg. No, come on. I want to hear you. Beg. It's like in the movie Some Kind of Wonderful.
Yeah.
At the end of it, when he's telling her, come on, beg. Beg. And then Duncan walks in. And he's like, I don't think there's any begging necessary. Dude, is Some Kind of Wonderful the greatest movie all time?
No.
Okay, is it one of the top 10?
I put it in the top 4.
It's so good.
Good movie.
Oh, it's good.
All right, Hans and Scotty live here at Tim Daly Infinity. All right, we are giving away Utah tickets. Come by and snap the old QR code and hang out with us. We've got some goodies for you. We've got some jazz gear, and you can take a look at these Infinities, all priced to move. It is time to come by and hang out with us. These dudes know how to do it right, man. They don't mess around. Stop by. Again, great new inventory. They have cars on the lot, Utah's best selection, and they've got a great selection of used vehicles as well. It's all here at Tim Daly Infinity, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
It's game week for the Cougars, and the Zone is getting you ready for kickoff. The long-awaited showdown against Notre Dame is finally here as the Cougars head to Las Vegas for a battle against the Irish. Catch an extended edition of the Cougar Preview Show this Saturday at 3:30, presented by Five Star Painting, with the postgame show immediately following the game. From Monday morning to the postgame press conference, your home for the best coverage of Cougar football is right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.
Looking for the latest on the Jazz, Utes, Cougars, and Aggies?
Yeah!
We've got you covered. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by U First Credit Union on 97.5, the Sports Zone.
97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. Hans Olsen, Scott Girard, and joining us now, it's time to check up with Utah State quarterback Logan Bonner.
This is your chance to get college football insight straight from the source.
Goal line, let's go!
This is the Players Club, as we talk football with some of the biggest stars in the state. Now joining Hans and Scotty from Utah State University, Logan Bonner.
Joining us now, Logan Bonner, kind enough to carve out a few moments for us. Logan, how are you?
Hey, Logan.
What's up, guys? Long time no talk.
I know, right? So give us the details. How did Monday go? I know surgery, you tweeted out surgery went well. What was the process like?
Yeah, I just got surgery that morning, 2-hour surgery, and got home about 4 o'clock and been in bed rest for a day, and then was out to practice yesterday and just trying to help the guys out any way I can.
Logan, I don't think people understand just how devastating these types of things are. It's really hard to put into words, you know, when you're at the level mm-hmm. that you're at and suffer something like this. I want to go back to the moment where the injury occurs. Kind of take us back. Did you know the amount of damage that was done when you found out? How difficult was the news? Kind of take us into it a little bit.
Yeah, so it happened on the last drive of the game, UNLV, and I was really struggling with it. And as soon as it happened, I heard it snap. I knew it broke. And it was kind of just the last play. I was on their sidelines, and I talked to their head coach, and, you know, the typical good game to the quarterback that he played really well. And next person I saw was Hayden, RGA. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it looks like he dropped off there for a second. There we go.
Sorry. No, so basically just was on their sidelines at the last play. The game was over, and I kind of just said hello to those guys because I was like, already kind of over there. And then the last person I saw was RGA, and he asked me if I was all right. And I was like, yeah, I just need to get off the field. I think I broke my foot. So they kind of carried me off, and that was it. I knew at that point that my career pretty much was over. So that's pretty much what I knew, is walking off the field or potentially walking off the field.
When you Coach mentioned it's the same break, not the same foot, but a different foot, but the same break you had when you first agreed to come to Utah State in that offseason?
Same foot.
Oh, same foot. Okay.
Yeah. He probably misspoke. But, yeah, same foot, same spot. Just a little bit different break. But you ask anybody that deals with these, they're pretty common if you break it once. So I knew going into the surgery the first time that – there was a chance I could break it again, but luckily I had a screw already in from the first surgery, so it didn't break all the way through. It just broke halfway, and so I didn't need to get a metal plate or anything like that. So what they did was just go in there and put another screw in, and I should be good to go within 3 to 4 months so I can start pursuing other opportunities.
Let's talk about that, Logan. When you decide, or when that foot decides that you're done with this season, where does your mind go? Like, how many different places or directions does your mind go?
Well, I think you start from you start from the bowl game. I knew I was going to have surgery with my ACL. I did everything possible, everything I could. Every food option, every workout option, every vacation I skipped to stay here and rehab just to get ready for this season, how important it was. And you go to that, you work your tail off, the hardest I've ever worked in my life to come in here and try to do my best and stuff like that, and it doesn't end up happening. And obviously we've been struggling the last few weeks, and me neither. So it just comes back to that, and then you finally figure out, like, okay, well, we're trying to make some strides here and there, and then all of a sudden, that's gone for me. I got to restart and kind of just take a step back and get surgery and be away from the team and help the other guys find a way to win. So it's a lot of emotions. But I knew, sitting in the locker room after the game, I knew that my season was done. And it just was a lot for a few days. I know I did an interview with you guys, and we talked, and but I don't think you guys knew yet. But I knew as soon as the game was over that I was pretty much done.
Do you want to stay actively? I know you will, because you're a good teammate, but can you channel the same passion that you had for playing into being a supporter and helping out Cooper and Levi, and essentially being, you know, almost a kind of a pseudo coach on the sideline?
Yeah, that's a hard balance. I mean, I'm probably one of the most competitive people on this team. That's what I consider myself to be, and I've always been that way. So it's a little different. I know there's no next year for me here. I feel like I can still play ball, and I'm going to pursue that as long as I can. But I know that there's no next year for me here, but I know that there's a legacy that we can build off of for the guys that are staying here. So my job is just to help them out and be competitive and just be a resource that Coop and Levi can turn to, because I played a lot of ball, I have a lot of experience in certain situations. So if they need help, that's what I'm here for, and I'll be around and just being a being a good guy and supporting the team, because I love all these guys on the team, and I think they work really hard. I think we have some momentum building from this last game that we played, and we can put it together, and it could be a good turn out to be a good season.
What do you think of Cooper against BYU?
Oh, I thought he did great. He was a little nervous, but obviously that's a big game for him. That's first start, basically being at home. He basically knows half the stadium in that crowd. So it was good. I was happy for him. He did a really good job, and he made some mistakes, but like anybody, you never play a good game. But I was really happy he had some confidence, and I think Nelly can build on that, and I think he's going to be a really great player for USU, and I'm really excited to see what he does.
How hard is it for, you know, offensive linemen, wide receivers, everybody to transition to a new quarterback? Is that a hard adjustment to make with the chemistry and everything else that goes into it?
Yeah, it's extremely hard. A lot of people don't realize, like, every QB sits in the pocket somewhat different way. Some QBs like to step up in some situations. Some QBs like to sit back. Some QBs have a little differences between QBs and the way they pronunciate words and stuff like that when there's crowd noise. And then just timing of throws and how they throw the ball. Do they throw it a little harder? Do they throw it a little softer? Just stuff, little stuff that you get used to when you have a quarterback in, as like me for a while, and then the guys just jump in there. So I think they did a really good job. I think Coop did a great job just communicating and being decisive. And I think he can only grow from there. I think the guys did a really good job of just buying in and going with the different game plan that we had. And I think it showed up in the first half that we played really well.
You know, Logan, we got a lot of different athletes out there that listen to us, and a lot of parents of teenagers that listen that are mm-hmm. athletes at some level. Help us kind of go through the thought processes of these injuries and your ability to fight through that ACL and your positivity going through this foot injury. How do you come up with that positivity? Where do you conjure up the courage to just keep going to rehab, to fight to get back on the field? I just want parents to understand, because I think there's a lot of kids out there that they get banged up and it's done, and parents don't want to fight through it, and the kids are upset with it. But how do you find that mentality to keep pushing?
Yeah, I think it just comes down to what you want to do in your life and how bad you love the sport. Obviously, many people in college careers that a lot of people go off college and they get it's hard. College sports is hard. It's a lot on your body. It's a business, and it's a lot of time and sacrifice. And some people love it, and some people don't. And for me, I've loved every bit of it. I came out here to win a championship and do my best. And yeah, we did that, but I was coming back another year to try to do it again. And that's the whole goal. You try to compete at the highest level. And I love this, and I wanted to get back for my teammates. I wanted to play in front of this fan base and some motivation about just coming back and trying to get back for my teammates and my family and everybody that's involved, and just try to be the best I can for them. And it's really the love for the game. I mean, if you don't have any love for the game, it's really hard to even do hard stuff like that. I mean, if I didn't have any love for this game, I probably would have been done years ago. And just going through all this stuff, it's hard. But you got to find out what you love and what makes you happy, and this is what it was. And this sport, it has some highs and it has some lows. So you just kind of got to stay in the middle and just keep pushing.
Logan Bonner joining us, quarterback at Utah State. Surgery earlier in the week. His season is done. But Logan, obviously, and you've mentioned this, you want to keep playing as long as you possibly can until the game says you're done. But is coaching in the future for you at all?
I think it is. I've had some good feedback from this last weekend from some of our coaches, and yeah. I think they would like to work with me. But no, I think it is. I think that it probably will be. I'd love to come back here and coach, but right now I'm just trying to play as long as I can. I'm only a kid once, so I got plenty of time to start that coaching career when I'm trying to done playing football. So I just need a shot. That's all I want. I should be ready to roll by January, wherever I train at and stuff like that. And see what happens. I know I can play. I just need one little shot and see if somebody gives me a chance. But I'm really excited about that opportunity. And coaching, for sure, I think I could see myself doing that.
What have you worked towards degree-wise?
Yeah, I graduate this December with a master's in sports administration. So I could be an AD or a coach. So it worked out pretty well. I'm only in one class right now, so it's not too bad.
My goodness.
Yeah. Well, you walk out of there with the master's on somebody else's dime. That's a win right there for sure.
Oh, absolutely.
Well, hey, obviously big game against Air Force. I know you're dealing with rehab and everything like that, but that was such a crazy game last year. And this team, honestly, they beat Air Force, and this team can go on a heater really, really quickly. Just how important is this game on Saturday for Utah State?
Oh, it's huge. Obviously, they're a great team. They're great. They have great players, and their coaching's great. They're always disciplined. They're always tough. They're physical. They fly around. It's a huge game for us. This is going to determine our season for sure. This is going to be a huge game for us and the program. I think we're close. I think we're close to getting to where we want to be. We're showing signs of it here and there, and we just got to play our whole complete game. I think if we do that, we have a good chance to compete and win and see what happens. But no, it's a huge game. It's going to be a tremendous challenge. Obviously, stopping the triple is extremely hard. We've been working. I know our defense has been practicing that since spring and stuff like that. So it's going to be really a tremendous challenge, and I think the guys are really looking forward to it. I think that they're preparing well, and I think it should be a good game.
Well, Logan, we appreciate it, man. Thanks for joining us. It means a lot.
Thanks, Logan.
Absolutely. Appreciate you guys.
You got it. Logan Bonner, right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone. A lot of emotion there.
Oh, man. Just such unfortunate timing. Guy goes through a whole fight with this ACL issue, and he obviously wasn't having the season he wanted to have, and then to feel that foot break on the sideline, it's got to be horrible.
Yeah. A lot like this birthday singing.
It's pretty bad, too. It is pretty bad. I just can't imagine what he's going through.
I know. Well, it's the realization of, you know, my college career is done.
Yeah.
And you fought like crazy. And he's right. The work that he put into to get ready for the season was unbelievable for this 1 year. And I think everybody kind of felt like this could be a really special year. And it just wasn't in the cards. And then you throw on the injury on top of it, and you're just like, you can't catch a break right now.
And he fought so hard to get back.
Yeah. All right, 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone, 12:45 coming up next, what you may have missed. And then at 1 o'clock, the legend, Frank Dolce, stops by. And we'll chat some Utah football with him. Your Utah preview show kicks off at 1 right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
This is DJ and PK.
Ben Bywater, and now you're 4-1 and getting ready for Notre Dame. And it's time for all of us, you know, I don't know how to say this, but they're kind of a big deal. For guys as old as PK and I, we can remember when they won their last national championship. But are they that big a deal to someone your age?
Yeah, no, it definitely is. I remember growing up watching them with Manti Te'o. They made the playoffs that year and played Bama. So I've always watched Notre Dame, and I know that everyone on our team is excited for it. But yeah, Notre Dame's a national brand. That's not little boy football over there. Those boys know how to play. So it's going to be exciting going down there to Vegas and making that happen. Nobody's taking this game for granted or taking it lightly.
Catch DJ and PK mornings from 6 to 10 on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one.
Miss any part of the show? Every moment of every show is available in podcast form by searching Hans and Scotty on your favorite podcasting platform or online at kslsports.com. This is Hans Olsen and Scotty G, presented by You First Credit Union on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
Number one, Clark, really good player. So we got our hands cut out for us.
Oh, man, Dorian Thompson-Robinson. Hey, look, man, I've mixed metaphors a lot. That's a gold one right there, though.
I'm excited for the Utah preview show because I put a lot of work into looking at UCLA, and I'm excited to talk about that guy right there.
Yeah.
Really excited to talk to him
because,
about him, give my thoughts on him.
Let's be honest. That dude's been the butt of a lot of jokes for a while with his inconsistent play, but he may have gotten things dialed in, and he might be a problem.
Yeah, and I got a college football coach's take on him too. So I'll share some parts of that as well.
I'm curious to hear that too.
Yeah.
And get Frank's thoughts on that and see where he's at on
him. Yeah, it'll be really good. We'll jump into that Utah preview show coming up here momentarily. So did you see that guy that caught Aaron Judge's 60-second home run ball? Did you see how much they're offering?
I did not.
$2 million for that ball. J.P. Cohen, he's the president of Memory Lane, Inc. in Tustin, California. He was talking with the press yesterday that he texted and emailed Corey Humans, the man who caught Judge's 60-second home run ball Tuesday night at Globe Life Field in Arlington. Cohen says Humans has not yet replied, but he's flat out given him the $2 million offer for that baseball. This should be a very helpful reminder that you don't hand a ball back.
No.
You don't hand a football back. You don't.
Never.
You hang on to it because it could be life-changing money.
Was it the other day? That was it, Albert Pujols, like 600 or something like that? They're like, oh, you know, just sign a jersey. And
yes.
No, what's wrong with you?
Remember what Tom Brady pulled?
What's that, Lloyd?
Remember the Tom Brady? What was it? What did they give him? He gave was for touchdown. Do you remember what it was that he had a record?
I can't remember. It was the record breaking, but yeah, when his receiver handed it to a fan.
Handed it to a fan, and the fan just like gave it back. He was like, well, I guess we'll get you something. We'll get you something good.
You are not you. And again, I think that there was an implication that the Tampa Bay Buccaneer, you know, staff kind of was
strong
like,
arm.
You're giving it.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, I don't have to give you this football.
Not a chance.
You never have to give it back. You don't.
$2 million. This is life-changing money.
By the way, do you hear the background on this guy? Apparently, he's like a senior vice president of a brokerage company. Like, the dude's filthy rich. He doesn't need the $2
million. Yeah.
But I'm sure he'll take whatever he can get out of it, which good for him.
He was in the front row of Section 31. Just happened to be in the right place, the right time, as that 60-second home run sailed and hit him right in the hands. People wondering why that ball is so monumental. He passed Roger Maris for the AL season record, which is considered the clean AL record.
Yep. Barry Bonds, not clean.
Roger Maris?
We don't know
clean.
That.
Clean.
We don't know that.
Aaron Judge? Do we really know Aaron Judge is
no,
clean?
No, we don't. That's the thing. We don't
We know Aaron Judge is a house with a bat in his hands.
Yeah.
We know that.
Who's to say that body wasn't artificially manufactured?
I would hope that...
By the way, it was Tom Brady's 600th career touchdown pass. That was the Tom Brady one. And they gave him a bunch of jerseys. Yeah, they signed him up some jerseys from, like, Brady, Evans.
Well, the guy with the Pujols thing, they gave him, like, a little prize pack with some... tickets to the and it yeah. It was just the
with a little pennant little, flag
yeah Yay. Honestly, the only thing that I might consider is you give me four really good season tickets for the rest of my life, because then you can just resell them and that can just be, you know, continuous. That's the only thing that I would even remotely
for the rest of your life.
For the rest of my life,
you're bringing in $3,000-$4,000, or I don't know what you could sell those for. Probably more than that.
Oh, I think way more than that.
Are
I
they?
Think you could get like,
because what do you get? Like, you get like 60 home games, is that right?
80. Isn't it 81?
Is
it's 162 game season.
Oh, okay.
81, you know, you sell your, you know, to dopey Red Sox fans for $500 a pop.
The record price paid for a home run ball is $3 million. That was Mark McGwire. $3 million for Mark McGwire's 70th home run ball in 1998.
Do you want to sell it now? Does the value of it go down the more home runs that he hits after this one? Like, if I'm this guy, do I want to like get rid of it right now? Or do I sit on it and the value goes up as years go
on? That's a good question. Because 63 is going to be worth more than 62, no?
I think the 62 is going to be worth more than all of them. I would imagine it's breaking Roger Maris's. Now, if he was to break, you know, the real home run Kings record, like 73 hit 74, then that one. But he's not going to. So he's going to come up well shy.
Hey, do playoff home runs count on that,
no.
Boyd?
No.
It ends in regular season, right?
Yep.
Okay.
I think you sell. Well, I don't know. I just don't know these memorabilia things. I just can't believe somebody's willing to pay $2 million to get that 60-second home run ball. That's a lot of money.
I wouldn't want to chance the money going down. If you hit the $2 million mark, I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
Let's go.
Let's
yeah,
do it.
If that guy reaches out to me and like I'm giving you $2 million, like, bam.
Oh,
take it.
I'm not chancing that going sub $1
million. Because all of a sudden, you know, next week there's going to be a story that Aaron Judge has been taking some kind of supplement and that value is going to just drop. I don't want to waste it. I just want to be like, nope, here, take it. Off you go.
Aaron Judge is a big dude. He's done a lot of good for baseball.
He'll be
it doesn't
a, he'll
have
be a giant
the same kind
soon.
Of feel, though, did it, as 1998?
No. No, nothing's had the, no, nothing's even come close.
I'm not going to lie.
There, we had in 1998.
I'll be watching a game, and Aaron Judge will be up, and ESPN will be like, oh, let's go split screen. I'm like, get this out of here. I don't want to watch this.
Yeah.
I don't care.
No, there was nothing like the 98 home run to the record. That was...
Like, I'm pretty...
The last time I really loved baseball.
I shouldn't be, but I was pretty apathetic on this home run race.
The 60-second?
Yeah, this of Aaron Judge. It just didn't move the meter that much for me.
It essentially moved it just enough that I'd be looking for it, but...
Plus, it was a Yankee, and nobody likes the Yankees.
That's true. Yeah. All right, coming up next, it is your Ute Preview Show. The great Frank Dolce is here and ready to go. We got a lot to talk about. UCLA coming in with a lot of momentum as the Utes make the trip down to the Rose Bowl to square off against UCLA. We'll kick it off next. We're live at Tim Daly Infinity, 4550 South State Street. So many great savings on these Infinities, and they have them in stock. And if you want to buy a new Infinity, there's only one place in the entire state of Utah you can do it. It's right here at Tim Daly Infinity. So you stop by, check out the selection. They all come with a Tim Daly Forever warranty and even have a great selection of used vehicles as well. It's all right here on 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
I'm Dave Cauley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.